Our mission and ministry at YVV is able to express itself through a whole range of channels and under many banners and badges. And I believe this reflects how the Lord is moving us into the territory that He's given us as a church. It reflects how the Lord is moving us into that territory in the areas of ministries of compassion. Now, ministries of compassion, ministry to those in need, those who are doing it tough, have always been a part of the DNA of Vineyard and of YVV. In the past, when we had a building on Cave Hill Road, much of that compassion ministry was expressed in a YVV building with a YVV badge on it. In 2017, we're in a somewhat different place, and the opportunities are different for the season that we're camping here at MEX. But compassionate ministry is still very much a part of who we are. It's in our DNA. And through the course of this year, I want to be shining a light on what the Lord is already doing in our region in this area of ministry. And I want to give some profile to how YVV people are engaging right now in ministries of compassion. Because I believe the Lord may be calling that forward in the mix and calling out to new generations to find their feet in ministries of compassion to those in need. And the avenues that express this ministry in 2017 may have other badges and banners over it. For instance, a number of YVV brothers and sisters find opportunity for that kind of ministry in Elisha Care, some at Mustard Tree, many in the Christmas Giving. I'd love to see us more among Holy Fools in that ministry in the region, and in Stable One, that some of you will know about, which is a cross-church response to accommodating people in and around Lilydale suffering homelessness. Now, none of these are ministries out of a YVV building with a YVV badge on it. Rather, it is YVV people expressing ministries of compassion through the channels that are there, through channels that God has raised up. Channels in plural that allow us in diverse ways to occupy more and more fully the territory that God has given us and occupy it with His compassion. I'm also excited about a new channel that's going to be opening up in 2017 in the Yarra Valley. Holy Spirit has given vision and opportunity to one of our couples here at YVV, and a new work of the kingdom is opening up that will give us fresh opportunity to bless the new thing God is doing. Fill our region that little bit fuller of God's compassion and His kingdom. I'm just saying that to whet your appetite, because I'm not going to say any more about that this week, but in a couple of weeks' time, we'll hear a little bit more about that. Now, this rhythm, this pulse of raising up and sending out and raising up and sending out, of expanding territory and of occupying more and more fully the territory that God has entrusted to us, this is a picture that I want to open up for us from the Scriptures in the weeks ahead. And I'm going to do that specifically from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 24. And we'll spend some weeks there. We'll just make a start on it this morning, because it is a passage that is all about filling territory, fuller and fuller with the kingdom of God. So if you have your Bible with you, you might like to turn to Luke chapter 10. And I'm going to read the first 24 verses. Luke 10, beginning at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, but this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. No one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Luke 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. 72 others. Others. You see, Jesus has already done this once. He has once already multiplied his ministry by sending his disciples out. In Luke chapter 9, the chapter before, Jesus multiplies his ministry 12-fold when he appoints the apostles. And after Luke chapter 9, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and James and his brother John, and Philip and his brother Nathanael, and Thomas and Matthew and James, the sons of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas, now have the task in plural of expressing the ministry of Jesus from village to village. Previous to that, Jesus could only be in one place at a time. And his ministry could only express itself in one place at a time. After Luke 9, his ministry can express itself in 12 villages at a time. He's expanded his presence. He's moved further into the territory that God has given him. Then after Luke 10, Jesus multiplies his ministry another 36 times because he sends the 72 out two by two. So now his ministry can be expressed in 36 villages at a time, 36 channels of his ministry, all going at once, allowing him to move further and further and faster into the territory that the Father has entrusted to him. After Acts chapter 8, more than 8,000 are sent out from Jerusalem into the wider world. And so we're seeing this pulse of raising up and sending out, raising up and sending out. This pulse just keeps... The pulse is getting bigger as the gospel rolls along. Raising up, sending out, raising up, sending out, so that he can fill his territory. And we remember, as Ephesians tells us, Jesus' ultimate goal is to fill the whole universe with his presence. So this multiplication in Luke 10, this sending out of the 72, is part of that bigger picture. It's one of these pulses of sending. He's filling the land with kingdom of God ministry. And note that Jesus sends these 36 teams to every town and place where he was about to go. Wow, those villages are in for a good time. They're going to get the team, and then they're going to get Jesus himself. It's going to be wham, bam. And the team, when they turn up, their wham is pretty good because they are already carrying God's peace. We're told that in verse 5. Those teams are already carrying God's healing. We're told that in verse 9. Those teams are already carrying the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. Verse 9 tells us so. So the kingdom of God is going to be expressed when the team turns up. And then Jesus is going to show up himself. It's going to be wham, bam. Now, brother or sister, if Jesus has sent you somewhere new, it's because he fully intends to show up there himself. Does that make you happy? If Jesus has sent you somewhere, it's because he fully intends to turn up there himself. It's going to be wham, bam. Now, I believe that may be a word of reassurance for some people here this morning, and you will know who you are as I explain this. God has brought you somewhere new at the beginning of 2017, to a new situation. Maybe it's a new job, maybe it's a new location, but you know it's a new season. And you're getting the lie of the land, and you're finding your feet, and you know that the Lord is with you, and you know what you're carrying, which is the kingdom, because you've been with Jesus. But your feeling right now is one of anticlimax, is one of being underwhelmed, almost as if there's a lull or a pause or a gap that you weren't expecting. Luke 10 verse 1 is a reminder for you that your arrival in that place is the wham. But there's a bam coming. And Jesus has taken you to this place, brought you to this new place, because he fully intends to show up. I believe that's a word of assurance for someone here this morning. When Jesus sends us somewhere, it's because he wants to be there. Well, in Luke 10, as I say, the wham of those teams is pretty good. The 72 have a great time in those villages. We're told that in verse 17 when they come back and tell Jesus, "It was awesome, even the demons submit to us in your name." It turns out they were well received in those villages and towns. It turns out that they do indeed carry within themselves a peace that people of peace want to be around. It turns out that they make themselves easy guests, that people want to be around them and open their homes to them. It turns out that they do indeed carry the healing of God within them, so that they make it something tangible and real when they say the kingdom of God has come, the kingdom of God is near. So here's a challenge. Is that you? Do you and I carry such a peace within ourselves that any person of peace will welcome us and receive that peace and want to be around us? Are you and I such easy guests in the lives of others that they want to be around us and stick with us and open up their homes to us? Do you and I carry the healing of God within us in such a way that the kingdom of God becomes tangible around us, so that our talk of the kingdom is something real? Is that the work that Jesus has done in you? Is that the work he's done in me? What work was it that Jesus had done with the 72 that readied them for this sending out? What had he done with the 72 so that they could answer yes to all those questions? What was the prep? Because the Gospel of Luke invites us to ask that question by inserting two words into verse 1. And the two words are, "After this." After this, he sends them out. After what? Let me tell you about a worship leader whose name was Dan. Dan was a guitarist and a singer and a worship leader in Southampton in the UK when I worked there. In fact, he was a very talented guitarist and singer and probably the best worship leader in Southampton. Well, so he kept telling us. He was the worship leader, mercifully, at my friend's church. And he just had a way about him that enabled him with supreme ease to rub people up the wrong way, to put it mildly. Now, potentially, he was good, but he just had this terrible attitude. So, to put it mildly, it was a great shock and a surprise to the music team, and they were absolutely open-mouthed when one year, A big league American healing evangelist came to town and spent the weekend at their church, and Dan led some of the worship sessions over the weekend. They couldn't believe it when Big League Jack snapped Dan up. Big League Jack gets alongside Dan and says, "Dan, you've got a great gift. Why don't you come and work for me? We'll tour the world for a year. I'll be a mentor to you in what you do. I think it'll be a great time." Well, the music team was thinking, "Dan?" And Dan was thinking, "Yes, of course. It was only a matter of time until someone recognized me. I knew it was going to happen. The Lord is raising me up. Going to be on the global stage. Goodbye, Southampton." So a few weeks later, Dan is stateside, full of pep for the year ahead, sitting in the study of Big League Jack for his first one-to-one session on Major League worship leading. "So, Dan, what we're going to focus on for the first maybe 5, maybe 6 months is the stink of an attitude you have. You got to be one of the most arrogant people I ever met." Oops. Dan was trapped in the USA for a year. Dan told that story when he came back from the States. He came back a better Dan because the Lord had worked on that stink of an attitude. The Lord had done a work on him. The Lord had prepared him, readied him for something bigger. Now, I tell that story because the way Jesus prepared his disciples for the expansion of their ministry when they were sent out in Luke 10 is not dissimilar to that. Luke says they were sent after this. So he invites us to look at all the teaching that went before, that went immediately before chapter 10. And we see that it is teaching that goes to the heart of attitudes. It is teaching that goes to the attitude that is on us. That's what he was teaching on before he sent the 72 out. So for instance, Luke 9, verse 62. Jesus asks, "Are you ready to put your hand to the plow without constantly looking over your shoulder?" To be ready for Jesus, you've got to be looking forwards, not backwards. You've got to be looking ahead, looking to the future, not stuck in pining or regretting or if onlying. And weren't there other opportunities? You've got to get your mind set right, Jesus says, if you're going to be ready to follow me. Luke 9, verse 56 speaks of a man who will be ready to commit to Jesus, but only after he's fulfilled all his family commitments, which reading between the lines might take some time. But Jesus says, "I want you now. Let the dead bury their own dead. You go now to preach the kingdom." Luke 9:58 asks if you're ready to move, ready to be moved. Because following Jesus means movement, doesn't it? You can't follow and stay in the same spot. Jesus says, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be moved? Luke 9, verses 49 and 50, John, one of the 12, says to Jesus, Master, we saw a man driving out demons in your name. So we put a stop to that, because he's not one of us. Jesus says, don't stop him. Whoever is not against you is for you. You know, if you can't get on with people who aren't your enemies, Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 56, a Samaritan village refuses hospitality to Jesus and his team, essentially because they're Jews. When the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to burn that village up? We could burn it to the ground by the power of God. And Jesus says, don't be silly. Or as the New International puts it, he rebuked them. You need to get better than that, he's telling them, at dealing with prejudice and rejection. If you are to be ready to be sent out. Luke 9:46-48, we overhear a lesson in childlike humility. Evidently, some of these apostles have got a bit of arrogance on them. Jesus breaks up an argument about which one of them would be the most important. That was the topic of the day as far as the 12 were concerned. And he teaches them, you've got to be like a child. You've got to be humble if you're going to be really useful to me. And then in Luke 9, verse 26, we find a lesson in courage. Jesus says, if anyone is ashamed of me or my teaching, I will be ashamed of them when I come again in glory. Then Luke 9:23, Jesus says, if any of you would follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. To be free, he says, to be really free, you need to count yourself ready to die and not be afraid of it. To be ready to be heard, you must first be ready to be nothing. All these lessons of Luke 9, every teaching that comes before the sending of the 72, is about our attitudes, the attitude we have on. So we have this teaching about dealing with fear, teaching about dealing with offense and prejudice and rejection. Dealing with pride and arrogance and learning humility. Learning to get on with people who aren't your enemies. Coming to terms with being moved around. Being ready to commit to Jesus in the middle of other commitments. And being ready to let the past be the past. All attitudes that ready us to expand and extend our influence. Some of you will know the name of Bob Jones, and I mean Bob Jones, the prophetic guy. He passed away in 2014, but he'd had a little experience of that before, because in 1973 he suffered a cardiac arrest. His heart stopped. When he was revived, he reported that he had seen a vision of Jesus. And that in those moments when he was dead and his heart had stopped, he had had a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus had asked him one question. Now, if you had Bob Jones for one question, what would your question be? What might Jesus I've wanted to ask him about. Now, Bob, your theology. Now, Bob, we need to discuss some moral issues. Now, Bob, we need to discuss some of your prophetic words. Nope. The one question Jesus asked him, Bob, did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? Well, the answer must have been no, because Bob had another 41 years to go. And I mention that story because I think often we think of our lives in terms of what we build. What's the thing we're going to achieve? What's the thing we're going to leave behind? When I think the Father's concern is what we build with. Did you learn to love? I think that's why this issue of attitude before being sent is so key. But you know, there's something funny here. And I'm going to finish with this point this morning. Because Jesus gave this teaching on attitudes to the 12 after he had sent them out to the towns and villages. Did you spot that? And there's no hint at all that all these faults of attitude have been all sorted out and fixed and resolved, and all his followers have got this licked before he sends the next lot out. Not at all. Evidently, even with all this stuff unresolved and still in process, Jesus's priority is to keep that pulse going of sending out, raising up, sending out, raising up, sending out. That's his priority, to fill his territory with people who are carrying the kingdom of God. And it would be going well beyond the gospel to say that the 72 had graduated in all these lessons of character before he sent them out into the land he wished to occupy. Fairer to say that these were the things that were being worked on. This was the process they were all in while this raising up and sending was happening. All of which tells us that you don't need to be perfect to carry the peace of God with you in a winsome way. You don't need to be perfect to be the kind of person that others want to be around and open their homes and open their lives to. You don't need to be perfect to carry the healing of God within you, or the reality of the kingdom. Just know that if Jesus is sending you, he's working on you. We're going to pause there and pray. Let's stand to pray. Lord Jesus, we want to say that we recognize that you are working on us. We recognize that we are all in process. And we want to say, yes, Lord Holy Spirit, work in us. Yes, Lord Holy Spirit, work in our attitudes. And give us grace for one another while you work on our friends and neighbors and family members, that we might have the grace to allow one another to be on this journey of change and this journey of being raised up and sent in ever new ways. And Father, we do want to be ever more ready, because we want what you want, to fill this place, this region, this state, this country with the presence and reality of your kingdom. We want to see Australia changed by the manifestation of your kingdom. And we want to be a part of that. And so we welcome your work in us.